Revelation 12. The last part of Revelation chapter 11, if you go back and read verse 15 through verse 19 there, we find where Jesus is actually standing kind of on the edge of eternity. He's pressed right there, and it's kind of a break between the two parts of the tribulation period, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 6, if you would, let's stand in honor of God's word. Revelation 12, 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath placed prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask your hand to be upon us right now, God, as we go back and try to explain and expound on Revelation a little bit. Lord, I pray, God, you just touch our hearts, touch our minds, help us to be like a sponge, God, to soak up what your word says tonight, God. Help us to hide it in our hearts, Lord, so we might not sin against you, God. Have your way right now, and we'll praise you for all you do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going into the second half of the book of Revelation. Let me remind you real quick that the book of Revelation is not written in chronological order, okay? Don't think that you're going to start reading in chapter 1, go all the way, and it's just going to fall out just like you read. Chapter 4 through chapter 9 takes us through the end of the kind of the tribulation period. Chapter 10 and 11 are passages that kind of stand like a parenthesis again, kind of behind the scenes. Chapter 11, Jesus is on the edge of eternity there. It closes with the Lord claiming his rightful dominion over the universe, and it reveals that the inhabitants of that glorious land will praise the King. Chapter 12 through chapter 19 takes us back into the tribulation period once again, while chapter 4 through verse 9, chapter 9 deal with the timeline or the plan of the tribulation. Chapter 12 through chapter 19 deals with the characters or the people of the tribulation. Now, what's said in chapter 12 and what we're going to kind of go over tonight, you really need to get a good understanding of it. Because if you misunderstand this, if you misrepresent this, everything kind of falls apart. And it kind of reminded me of a story that I read one time. I got a bunch of old books from a preacher friend of mine, and one of the books, Brother Ralph has probably seen this book, and I can't remember the exact title of it, but it tells funny little stories about church all throughout these books. A lot of the older preachers had it, and I found this story. I don't normally read funny stories, okay? But just listen to how this reads. Dr. Ken Trevette shared a story of a young preacher speaking to a pulpit committee. He relates the story as follows. You could be like the young preacher who was interviewing for his first church. The pulpit committee had met with him to interview him, and one of the committee people asked, "Son, do you know your Bible pretty good?" The young preacher said, "Yes, pretty good." The chairman asked, "Which part do you know best?" "The New Testament," he said. The chairman said, "Well, why don't you tell us the story of the prodigal son?" The young preacher said he'd be glad to and proceeded to tell the story. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went down to Jericho by night and fell upon the stony ground, and the thorns choked him half to death. I can't read this without laughing. The next morning, Solomon and his wife Gomorrah came by and carried him down to the ark where Moses took care of him. But as he was going through the eastern gate to the ark, he caught his hair in a limb and hung there for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards he did hunger, and the ravens came and fed him. The next day, 3 wise men came and carried him down to the boat dock, and he caught a ship to Nineveh. And when he got there, he found Delilah sitting on the wall, and he said, "Chunk her down, boys, chunk her down." And they said, "How many times shall we chunk her down? till seven times. And he said, nay, but seven times 70. And they chunked her down 490 times, and she burst asunder in the midst. And they picked up the 12 baskets of leftovers. And in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? The chairman of the committee interrupted the young man. He said, fellas, I think we need to vote on him. He knows his Bible pretty good. We can laugh a little bit, but if you misinterpret chapter 12, you get it all wrong. And it's been misinterpreted a lot through the years. So let's look at this chapter 12. Let's look at the personality of this woman, verse 1 and 2. This woman, the identity of this woman has been talked about and discussed over the years a lot by theologians, and I'll just kind of give you some of the ideas that some people have. So the Roman Catholics have said that this woman was Mary, that there are several reasons this can't be true. Mary never ascended into heaven. Mary gave birth on earth, not in heaven. Mary cannot be the woman talked about in verse 6. Some people believe that the woman is the church. However, Christ, the man-child, gave birth to the church, not the other way around. Amen. And another woman by the name of Mary Parker Patterson Glover Eady claimed that this woman and the religion that she gave birth to in 1879 was Christian Science. That ain't it either. So who is this mysterious woman in verse 1 and verse 2? I believe this woman is the nation of Israel. If you study the Bible, I believe this woman is the nation of Israel. Two Old Testament passages tells us about the dream that Joseph had thousands of years ago in Genesis chapter 37. It's obvious from Jacob's reaction to Joseph's dream that the sun, the moon, the stars all represents the nation of Israel. The second passage is Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. There the seed of Abraham is compared to the stars. This verse tells us and reminds us of what we already know, that God is not done with Israel. Just because we're the church, just because, you know, the church is going to be raptured out, just because that right now it seems like the church, the nation of Israel is down, the church is up, God is not done with Israel, amen? You understand that. But that's this woman. Let's look at her destiny. The woman is in childbirth. And we read this. She's in great travail. She's tried to give birth to she is trying to bring her child into the world. Verse 5 tells us that she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up to God and to his throne. This is Jesus the Messiah. She is trying to give birth in this passage of Scripture to the Messiah. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. God used the nation of Israel to bring the Messiah to us. Amen. People can say what they want to, but thank God for the nation of Israel. Thank God. Amen. All these here people that want to say that the church is the new nation of Israel, better remember something. Jesus Christ was Jewish. Amen. Jesus was a Jew. Don't you ever get that mistaken. I'm just telling you, the nation of Israel still holds a major part in God's plan. The Bible says in Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, now who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Jesus Christ came to us through the nation of Israel. That's the woman, the personality of the woman. Now let's look at the persecution that this woman goes through. Let's look at the personality of the dragon. The Bible gives a great description of this dragon. Let's look at what the Bible says about it. The Bible says it's red in color, the color of war and bloodshed. It brings to mind the red horse of Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. This dragon is a killer. He brings death. He brings war and bloodshed when he comes. If you haven't figured it out, this is talking about the Antichrist. The Bible calls it a dragon. A dragon is a winged serpent. There's no such thing in our natural world as what we're talking about. This is a picture of Satan, of the devil. In fact, we can identify the dragon from Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. We're not going to go there, but we can do that. The Bible says it's got seven heads. It speaks of very intelligent. Now, you understand something. We know that Satan is under our feet. We know that Jesus Christ has defeated Satan. But let me go ahead and tell you something. You can't outsmart him. Amen. You are no match for Satan. in your own strength. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28, thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That is talking about Satan. It's talking about Lucifer. The Bible says it's got 10 horns. The horns are a symbol of power. This could be talking about the nations that will follow him. We know that Satan is not all powerful, but he is powerful. The Bible says he's got 7 crowns. These crowns are symbols of authority. Satan is still the god of this world. As we speak right now, Satan is the god of this world. He is not all, now listen, he's not always been an evil creature. At one point, Satan was an archangel in heaven. At one point, Lucifer was up there with the ranks of Gabriel and Michael. Understand that. In the beginning, he was the ranking angel in heaven. Ezekiel chapter 28 tells us that. But pride was found in his heart, and he tried to take God's throne, and he tried to overthrow the Lord. That's in Isaiah chapter 14. Lucifer sinned, and he became Satan. He was cast out of heaven. When Lucifer fell, he drew one-third of all the angels, what we would call demonic spirits, with him. Now, the plan of this dragon. Satan is pictured in this passage of Scripture standing before Israel waiting to devour her child. Now, this, you got to understand, this is talking about future things and this is talking about past things. And as I was studying this, his intention has been to destroy the seed of the woman ever since he was come into authority. That was his intention. He's been trying to kill the seed for as long as you can think about it. Satan moved Cain to kill Abel, thinking he could stop God's plan. He didn't know that God was going to send Seth. Satan tried to corrupt the human bloodline by having a godly line of Seth intermarry with the evil line of Cain. He didn't know about Noah and the ark. God was going to wipe all that out. He tried to arouse Esau's anger so that Jacob might be killed. He didn't know that God was going to allow Jacob to escape. He tried to kill off the Jews in Egypt, having Pharaoh slay all the little boys, and he didn't know that God was going to send a little boy named Moses to lead all of them out. Amen. He tried. Every time he tried, he failed in his attempt to kill. Hey, we know that when Jesus was born, we know that Herod had all the babies killed from 2 and under, but he didn't realize that God had already got Jesus out and put him in Egypt. Satan. He can't outsmart God. He's been trying and trying and trying. He's been trying for over 6,000 years, and he ain't done it yet. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. He ain't going to do it either, amen? That's the personality of the woman, the persecution of the woman. Let's look at the progeny of the woman. This verse speaks to the seed of the woman. His description, he is called a man-child. It is a baby boy, okay? It's called a man child, a baby boy like no other baby boy ever. Amen. Amen. The Bible talks about how he was born without a human father, Matthew chapter 1. His mother was a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7 and Luke chapter 1. He was God in human flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14. It's clear that the seed of this woman, it was talking about none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. So we know that this child is going to be Jesus Christ. His destiny is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. The first time he came and ruled with love. Amen? But the next time he comes, he ain't coming like that again. Now let me just stop. When we went to Israel the first time, there's a lot of people, and I'm not going to call any names, but there's a lot of people and a lot of preachers that are very bold in their boisterous, I'd say. Our guide that we had when we first went to Israel, Brother Robert, could speak 7 languages. You don't want to mess with somebody that can speak 7 languages. Most of mine and your little pea brains can't handle that. Amen. You don't want to argue a point with somebody that can speak 7 languages. But some of the preachers that I know, Adam took it upon themselves to argue with this man. I ain't calling no names because y'all know some of them. And they would hem this guy in a corner, so to speak, and they would say, why don't y'all believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Why don't y'all believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Now, listen, we all believe Jesus is the Messiah. We know that Jesus is God's son, but you got to understand, you're talking to a Jewish person. And this is what he taught. He shut them up. Jamie, he shut them up like that. He said, for you Christian, he said, your Messiah has come. He said, but for the Jew, our Messiah has not come yet. And this passage of scripture we're reading right here tells about the time. Now, we know that when he comes again, we know he's already came one time. Amen. But when he comes again, he's going to come. They were looking for a Messiah that was going to pull them out. They were looking for a Messiah that was going to lift them up and put them back in right standing with the world. They were looking for a Messiah that was going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And I'm telling you, when he comes back, that's exactly what they're going to get. So that's his destiny. Revelation chapter 19, verse 15 says this, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He's going to rule for several reasons. First, he's going to rule because he created everything, glory to God. Hey, it's all his. He's going to rule because he purchased everything with his own blood when he died on that cross. And he's going to rule because he alone is worthy to rule and reign. Ain't nobody else like him. Ain't nobody else can do what he does. Amen. Amen. That's why he's going to rule. His deliverance. The Bible says Jesus lived and died on the cross. He arose from the dead. Amen. We know that he ascended into heaven and he is seated at the right hand of God right now. Look how verse 5 reads that I read to you. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and his throne. Who did that sound like to you? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Now, keep in mind, we're going back and forth in time as we read this. Keep in mind that we got the personality of the woman, we got the persecutor, and we got the progeny or the seed. Now let's look at the protection of this woman. The Bible says in her distress, she flees from the dragon and she goes away in the wilderness to hide. Let me go ahead and say this. Satan hates the church. Satan hates the nation of Israel. He knows that that's where the Messiah has come from. He knows that that's exactly where the Messiah... He has been doing his very best to defeat the nation of Israel since the beginning of time. No other nation on earth has been persecuted and trodden down like the nation of Israel. No other race of people has been persecuted and trodden down like the Jews. Just a little over a generation ago, Adolf Hitler killed over 6 million Jews. Joseph Stalin killed millions of Jews in the Soviet Union. They all over the earth, Jews have been killed since the beginning of time just because they were Jew. Now, people are persecuted all over. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and say we don't have persecution in America, because we do. Most of it seems like now is toward the church. Amen. I didn't come tonight to preach on one race against another race. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about persecution now is mostly against the church. But the church ain't faced nothing like the Jews faced. Satan has done his very best to kill the Jews. But now think about this. But he's not been able to. Just like I was giving you an illustration a while ago about how they tried to kill the Messiah and they tried to kill the seed. And God always had a way of escape. God always had a way of escape. God always had a way of escape. The Bible talks about how if you chop the tree down, that olive tree, there's a branch going to come right back in. Amen. I'm telling you right now, God's got his hand on the Jewish nation. God's got his hand on Israel. And what you and I need to do, we need to pray for the peace of Israel. We need to pray for the protection of Israel, because that's God's chosen people. Satan is doing her very best. But the Bible says that God takes this woman into the wilderness. Now, Her deliverance was this. The Bible says that she is hid in the wilderness. Some scholars believe that she is hid in the ancient city of Petra. And if you want to know about Petra, go look it up. I ain't got time to really get into all that. It's a wall. It's a place we got big walls all the way around it. Back and as a matter of fact, back in the 1920s, there was somebody. W.E. Blackstone was a man. He was so certain that Israel was going to escape to the wilderness and go to Petra that he spent $8,000 back in the 1920s and bought Bibles and put them all over that place, so that the nation of Israel could come in and find Bibles to read. That's how sure that he was that it was Petra. But we don't know where it is, but all we know is God's going to hide them. As I was thinking about this today, I got thinking, you know, they ain't got to be in no walled city. Not for God to hide them. Because y'all do realize that what the Bible says, that the Garden of Eden is still there. You just can't find it. Amen? Yeah. So that God could put them right out in the middle of an open field and just say, y'all ain't going to see them. Amen. I'm just telling you, God can do anything he wants to. All we know that is for 1,260 days, she is going to be hid. She is going to be cared for. Somebody going to feed her. Somebody going to watch over her. Somebody's going to protect her for 1,260 days during the tribulation. You imagine, now Satan in all his power, Wes, Satan in all his power can't find her. The Antichrist ain't going to be able to find her. The dragon ain't going to be able to find her. All the militaries of the world are not going to be able to find her. With all the GPS and everything they got, they still ain't going to be able to find her. Because I'm telling you, when God's got his hand of protection on you, you ain't got to worry about it. And I'm telling you, if you're covered by the blood tonight, glory to God, and God's got his hand of protection on you, you don't have to worry about it. There ain't enough devils in hell that can come against you and defeat you when God's got his hand on you. It ought to encourage us tonight as we read the book of Revelation to realize that same God that's going to be protecting the nation of Israel in the wilderness is that same God that's got his hand on me. Amen. 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 Now, like I said, as far as the church is concerned, our Messiah has already come. We're going to be called out of here and live and reign with him. As far as my belief, prior to the tribulation period. But the Messiah that the Jew wants hasn't come yet. But he will. He will. The question is whether you're going to be here or not. And it seems like every Wednesday night, it always goes back to this. Are you going to be here when all this takes place? If you're not saved, there's a good chance you're going to be here. If the church is raptured out, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. I want you to bow your heads. We ain't got to have no song.